that she had, you know, met a rector at the base.
To our podcast, you're going to get some really insightful information.
You think so?
I do.
I think we have a suspicious avatar here, though. What do you think?
Yeah.
Where's the avatar cops?
One option is the planes and the ensuing fire brought the buildings down, which, I mean, the thing that blows my mind the most about the Iran-Contra affair, conspiracy, again.
Coming to you simultaneously from the center of the universe and deep in the heart of nowhere. AboveTopSecret.com presents the 2 out of 3 Amigos Conspiracy Show with your host, the Skeptic Overlord and Springer.
And now, prepare your tinfoil hats, align your ciphers, engage your cone of silence, lock your bunkers, and switch proxy servers. The 2 out of 3 Amigos.
Well, hello everyone. This is one of the Amigos, Skeptic Overlord, coming to you from the center of the universe through the magic of Skype, my partner in crime.
This is Springer. Good evening, one and all. Hope everybody's doing great and having a nice evening, because we're about to ruin it.
Is this our fifth one? Or is our fifth one? Actually, yes. Who knows how many. Should we tell them what happened Thursday?
God, yeah, actually we should. After the hell we went through, we should share it with everyone. Like I said, we're going to ruin their evening, so let's go.
Yeah, as I've mentioned before, I have this brand new Mac laptop. It's great. You know, I've got it configured for 16 channels of internal sound, and we went through a really good podcast. It was awesome. It was just fantastic.
Like the fish that got away.
Shit. But what happened was, when I converted it all to MP3, where's Mark?
Nowhere.
Actually, you know, it was a pretty good podcast.
Yeah.
One of our best, yeah. Except for those big moments of silence when Mark was not talking.
That may have been better. We ought to try that sometime.
So, yeah, what happened was I got a little too fancy with all the sound channels, and Mr. Springer was on channel 3, and I was recording channel 2.
And there you have it. There I wasn't.
Right. So anyway, we're trying again. So 2 days later, we've recovered. Mark got his voice back, and we're going to try again.
Yes. Before we get going, this pod show is dedicated to a very dear friend of ours, Mr. William Wonsack, and we're just going to leave it at that. We love you, Willie.
Absolutely. And get back online fast, man. I can't take this with Springer. I need help.
God, I know it.
So, As the intro said, this is the 2 out of 3 Amigos Conspiracy Show from AboveTopSecret.com. This guy on the other end of the microphone and I were administrators and partners with Simon Gray in AboveTopSecret.com, the only website that really matters.
It's the only place worth ever pointing your browser to.
That's period. Right. You're such a sales lizard.
I am not.
We're settling in on sort of a format for these shows, unless we have a special guest like we've had with William Wonsack, and soon to be hopefully Mr. Thomas Crown. But he keeps, I guess for good reason, he keeps putting us off, doesn't he?
He dodges those bullets. He dodges them well. You know, we might point out that today is Saturday, the 10th of December, 2005. In case anybody doesn't know what day it is, that's today, tonight.
This
today or tonight?
Tonight. Well, it's if we hurry up, we'll actually finish this on the 10th. Also,
God, that'd be good.
So the regular format that we're going to try to keep to is we'll talk about some breaking current event, and then each of us will switch back and forth and let you know what's happening with some interesting threads on the board, and sort of give you a flavor as to. sometimes some lunacy and sometimes some incredibly insightful stuff.
Yeah.
Usually not written by either of us, unfortunately.
No, I mean, that's the price we pay. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to run the, run the greatest destination on the internet, it really does leave us very little time to actually contribute anything of value. I mean,
well, not only that, the critical mass of intelligent people pretty much leaves us behind.
Yeah, undoubtedly, undoubtedly. I mean, yeah, we're way behind.
So one of the things that that caught my eye in the news today was apparently it's breaking news, and it's going to be covered in the Washington Post tomorrow, being Sunday. And essentially, there's some new news out of the Pentagon that day after day reports of suspicious activity filed from military bases and other defense installations throughout the United States flow into the Counterintelligence Field Agency, or the CIFA. This is a three-year-old Pentagon agency whose size and budget remains classified.
Whoops.
The Washington Post is planning a rather significant report tomorrow. And what I'm doing is I'm reading from a flash on the Drudge Report. What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, I would say that it all depends on what they plan on reporting. I mean, is this tied into the prison torture deal that we've heard about all week, or is this something new? Or do you know?
I don't know. I mean, the...
Wow.
Well, apparently this is internal intelligence, though. This isn't external. This is intelligence that is being collected, filed, and collated, and cross-referenced on U.S. citizens within the U.S. borders.
Whoops. I thought that was illegal.
That's what we've heard, isn't it?
Wow. You know, it's just... As time goes forward, it's almost like the fast forward has been hit on the corruption scandal meter for not only this administration, but, I mean, just through our government completely. It's just unbelievable, the stuff that pops up.
But it's apparently not just the government. And this this smells suspiciously of Germany in the late 30s, in that some of these documents, as a matter of fact, a lot of the documents, rather, apparently consist of raw information reported by and collected by so-called concerned citizens.
Oh, boy. Wow. You're kidding me.
No.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Wow. Where's the alarm, man? Hit it.
yeah, God. Right. Hello. Where is it? There you go. So I imagine this is going to be a topic discussed at great length on Above Top Secret after this news hits tomorrow.
My God. You know, that... So let me make sure I have this as right as it can be in my mind. You've got raw data being collected from various and sundry sources all over the country, including concerned citizens, and it's all being filtered down and handed off to an internal group at the Pentagon.
Yes.
Dude, I'm moving to Mexico.
and the name of this group is the Counterintelligence Field Activity.
Counterintelligence Field Activities. That doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Wow. Wow, you got a hot one there.
I wonder what they have Woo! On us.
Yeah, no shit. Well, what they're about to have.
Right. So,
listen up, boys.
Yeah, keep an eye on this story as it runs through the forums, and we'll all watch this one. So let's get started with our take on some threads, and I know you have you've picked out some doozies for tonight.
Yeah, you know, in breaking with traditional slick broadcasting style, which I know you and I attempt desperately to emulate.
With it.
Yep, we're going to break with tradition here, but that is our want. I mean, you know, normally you save the best story for the end after all the commercials, but God, we suck so bad we don't have any commercials. So we pretty much get to do whatever we want. I'm going to take the best thread.
Actually,
first.
I get to do whatever I want because I'm the one with all the sound effects and the recording.
Yeah, that's true. You do have all the buttons. And you proved that to me the other night. But anyway, the reality of it is there is a thread started by Val Hall, and it's in ATSNN. That's our news network for non-members that happen to be listening. If you're one of the seven people that hear this pod show and you're not a member of AboveTopSecret.com, we have our own version of a news network called ATSNN. and that stands for, you guessed it, Above Top Secret News Network. And in the op-ed section, there's a thread called A Moment in Time. Now, this thread is absolutely mind-boggling when you read it and you kind of sit back and absorb what's actually being said here. The bottom line is, back during the Kennedy assassination, the day that Kennedy was assassinated, there was a very, very credible Fort Worth Star-Telegram or Dallas Morning News photographer, and I forget, he's a Dallas Morning News photographer, who, you know, out of that whole day, you know, you're a photographer, you're assigned to shoot the president's, pun not intended, take photographs of the presidential limousine and all the cars, you know, in the parade with him, going down the street. The president gets assassinated right in front of your eyes. You're there. And you would, you know, what would stick in your mind on a day like that? I mean, that's an interesting question all by itself.
Of
all the things that would stand out in your mind, this gentleman, the biggest thing that stood out in his mind was there was this kid running at full speed behind the line of cars, and all he had on was a black, what they called a raincoat, and a shirt that was open at the neck, running at full speed, waving his arms and yelling, "Slow down, slow down, for God's sake, slow down," chasing, you know, the line of cars. Now, what the hell is that right off the bat? I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, at the time, I suppose, you know, just trying to get yourself in his head. Nothing. I mean, you know, it's just some kook. But now, in retrospect, with the benefit of history, it could mean a number of things.
Wow. So this guy, this photographer, you know, watches this kid and starts running after him, thinking, you know, God, I got to find out what this is about. So as he's running after this kid, he realizes two things. One, the kid is smoking him. I mean, just beating feet and outrunning him and just, you know, leaving him behind. The other thing that dawns on this gentleman, this photographer, is, wow, I wonder if I'm going to get in trouble for chasing the, you know, the president's limousine. I'm, you know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, they tend to frown on that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, they frown on it to the point that one of the Secret Service agents noticed this kid, steps down off the bumper stand he was riding on the back of the he wasn't in the on the president's limousine. He was either one car or two cars behind. And he gets down off of that, grabs this kid, and according to the testimony from this photographer, hurls him to the curb with such a force that the photographer really thought the kid would for sure be knocked out at a minimum and, you know, possibly sustained some pretty serious physical damage.
Well, do we know if that event showed up in any of the films?
Yeah, he went back the next day or week, around, I don't know when, and looked at all the negatives and talked to the other photographers, and there was nothing at all. Nobody got a picture of this kid.
Wow.
But more importantly than that, immediately after the kid gets thrown down, the press bus goes by and essentially blocks this photographer's view of where the kid would have landed. When by the time the press bus passes, the photographer walks back, you know, goes across the street, continues on across the street. The kid's gone. He asks people in the crowd, "Did you, you know, where'd the kid go?" And and none of them seem to know what he was even talking about. Now, how bizarre is that?
Yeah, I mean, these are one of those small stories that come from an event like this that just contributes to the dots not quite connecting.
Oh, no doubt. But 42 years have gone by, and I've never heard this story. Have you? I mean,
no, I haven't. You know, to be honest, I think I have heard something like this, something about somebody chasing a kid, but that was it. This certainly connects with that, but this is much more detailed than just, you know, rumors of somebody chasing a kid near the motorcade.
It gets better.
Ooh, do tell. Yeah, I can't wait to hear.
It gets better. After this word from our sponsors. Oh, if only we had one.
What?
Yeah. Well, Valhall and I were listening to the Johnson tapes, which there's a great site. on the internet that has the recordings, all the recordings that have been declassified of several presidents. And I'm listening to this taped conversation between President Lyndon Johnson and Hoover, head of the FBI. And during this, you know, it's a normal conversation. They're discussing the assassination and they're discussing the shot that, Governor Connally took. And Hoover says, you know, Connally turned into the shot. And Johnson says, he turned into the shot. Are you saying the president would have been hit by three bullets instead of two if Connally had not have turned into that shot? And Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, says, that's exactly correct, Mr. President. And he's saying, okay, let me make sure I have this straight. So you're telling me that, Connally turned in one direction or another and took the bullet, but the gun was definitely aimed at the president. That's correct, Mr. President. J. Edgar Hoover confirms this.
Wow.
Like three times they reiterated.
So these are just recently released, recently declassified?
No, I think it was declassified in 1990 or 1991.
Really? Why haven't we seen any coverage of this before?
That's what I don't get, because here's the kicker. Connally was in front of the president, and he was also about 8 inches lower
right.
than the president in
That's
a little
right.
jump seat. So where'd that bullet come from?
that's one hell of a magic bullet.
No kidding. I mean, there's absolutely no way Connally could have turned into and took a bullet for the president unless the bullet came from the right for passenger side forward of the car.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible. And they reiterated it three times. J. Edgar Hoover was a lot of things. And one of the biggest things he was a freak for details. And there's no way in God's
yes.
green earth anybody's ever going to convince me
Not just
that J. Edgar Hoover. Yeah. I mean, there's no way J. Edgar Hoover is going to confirm three times to his president that, yes, the governor of Texas turned and took a bullet for the president if he didn't absolutely know it.
Wow.
And, you know, the book depository was where? Behind him.
Now, the direction you described as the direction from which a bullet would come where he would turn and take it is one of the more popular theories of someone shooting from a storm drain in the street.
Yeah.
That's the direction that a shot like that could have taken.
Right. I mean, even the grassy knoll fits this deal. I mean, it's just it's,
but
it's
wouldn't
mind-boggling.
Based on the direction you described, wouldn't it be lower than the knoll? Wouldn't the trajectory begin lower?
Not necessarily, because, well, I don't want to go into all that details. But
what are
but,
we, Kennedy experts?
Yeah, but I mean, no, I mean, you could from where they think the guy was standing in the knoll, it would have fit.
Okay.
The deal is. The crazy part is, here we go again, 42 years later, and we have this taped conversation between J. Edgar Hoover and President Lyndon Johnson that I've never heard of, and nobody's heard about. I mean, we've had on the site, we've had guys that have come on, or ladies that have come on, members that have come on to that thread and said, you know what, I've been an enthusiast of JFK assassination conspiracy theory for 20 years. I've been an enthusiast for 30 years. First I've ever heard of it.
Well, how did these get distributed and released? Were they just discovered in a pile somewhere and somebody put them out there?
No, they were declassified. They were part
I
of
mean,
this
recently,
library.
How did the thread start?
The thread started on a totally different conversation. These are two different threads, actually.
It's
two pieces of information, two separate threads in the site. But Val Hall was doing research on another thread on a different subject and came across this.
Wow.
The taped recordings are on, I think, University of Virginia site or something like that. It's an EDU site. But it just, you know, the mind-boggling part, 42 years later, and nobody's heard about this conversation with Johnson and Hoover, yet it's on the internet for anybody on the planet to download and listen to for free.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Well, and it's on Above Top Secrets. So in our show notes, we'll have a link to that thread so it's easy for
yes,
everyone
we will.
To find. Okay, shifting gears.
Yes.
I don't think I have a thread nearly as exciting as that. I'm sorry.
Cool.
I just, man, you really stole my thunder.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Take my toys and go home.
Oh, please don't. Okay, yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
I was browsing around the Skunk Works, and this, I was hoping to find threads different from the ones that we used Thursday night, but this one just still sticks in my mind as something that's really, really important. And you know, we talk about this a lot. It's in Skunk Works. The title of the thread, and by the way, that's the Skunk Works forum. If you go to the homepage, click on Skunk Works.
Yes.
And the title is "The Biggest Conspiracy of All is Conspiracy Itself." And Velvet Splash, who's joined the site a little more than 2 years ago, but just not a really active member, but obviously hangs around quite a bit. I'll read the first couple paragraphs of his very interesting post that has spawned a thought-provoking thread. What do you think about the conspiracy theory that many or most conspiracy theories are actually disinformation to keep people off the trail of the real conspiracies? I think there is a very tangible conspiracy of greed and power. Those with power want to keep it and increase their share of it, whilst keeping everyone else as their little worker bees. I think such a conspiracy takes place in politics, commerce, and finance, and thus it is provable, however difficult, as the saying goes, follow the money trail. That is, if you want to know what's really going on, look at who's profiting from whatever event you're questioning, for example, a war. And he goes on and has a Wikipedia link, and there's a couple of very good replies from Bitraiser, Esoteric Teacher, some of the usual suspects that would jump in on a topic like this,
yeah.
And it's very good. I probably should have responded, but I wanted to save it for the show. But you know, with the, it's tough to follow your thread, man. But
that's actually that's a great, you know. That is a great theory itself.
If you expand on the idea and just sort of step back from the involvement in conspiracy theory we've had and just sort of look at the sequence of events over the past few years as to really the internet has brought a resurgence of conspiracy theory discussion and communication and publication, and that has been further accentuated by 9/11 and just the amazing number of conspiracy theories surrounding that. It's just almost a renaissance of thought in pure conspiracy theory and political scandals surrounding every aspect of the attacks on 9/11, to the point where there's so many different ideas, so much crap. Some of it is obviously people just profiteering from conspiracy ideas, and other are just people that latched onto an idea, built a website, and looked at photos the wrong way, or maybe the correct way, and are just spewing all kinds of conspiracy theories. And on many occasions, and actually far too many, the more learned conspiracy theorists that we tend to have at Above Top Secret would look at these threads, look at these sites, rather, and just pick them apart. And leave them by the roadside in tatters with the number of with the number of holes in them, but still there's just so many.
Yeah, and it's almost a cottage industry.
It's more than a cottage.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice house now.
Yeah, but the number of these that are based on just such crap, and which isn't to say that there aren't real serious conspiracies surrounding those events, or in general, really, not just 9/11, but I sort of zeroed in on that as an example.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are certainly issues and conspiracies surrounding that event that need to be examined, but there's so many out there that are just total lunacy that it's almost as if the truth can now be hidden because of it.
Yeah,
the truth is hidden in plain sight because there's just so much noise. The signal-to-noise ratio is making it impossible to learn the truth.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's talk about muddy waters. I mean, yeah, you know, you delve into and pick it. I mean, 9/11, the Kennedy assassination, it's almost anything. I think the internet, more than almost any other thing that it's done, is it's brought it to the masses, in as much as, you know, any guy with a computer and a telephone line now can log on and start reading this stuff and taking it in. A guy who or a lady who otherwise would have no clue, no interest whatsoever, and no contact with any of this information.
Exactly. And I think what we're trying to do in Above Top Secret, and we tend to get a bad rap from the pure conspiracy theorists that we're just too skeptical. We jump on this stuff so quickly and debunk as much as we can find, and that's sort of the what they feel we're doing. But in reality, we're trying to throw the crap out so that we're left with something that could resemble the truth,
right? Or at least a way to reduce the tonnage you have to go through to get to the truth. I mean, you know, we're not the purveyors of this stuff. What we do is we're nothing more than a medium that kind of brings it for all to dig through as they will. One thing I do take pride in that our site and our membership does is just like you said. I mean, you know, we the obvious crap needs to go away.
Right.
And I think we do a great job at that. And yeah, we do get a bad rap. I mean, a lot of times, I think most of the people complaining about it are the guys trying to make a buck off of it, if you really think about it.
Exactly. And that's almost worse to me. Someone who's trying to profit from a false conspiracy theory is far worse than the government purposefully putting conspiracy theory disinformation out there to confuse us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, it's like the TV preachers, you know, getting the old ladies to send them the last $5 they have.
That's actually an excellent analogy.
And thank you.
Yeah, so that's a really good angle to examine, and we've certainly seen a lot of that. And, you know, sorry to say, there is probably some of that on Above Top Secret. There's just so much out there. But hopefully, by the sheer mass of intelligent members that we have, picking these things apart with an interest in conspiracy theory, we will hopefully zero in on what is reality for a number of these things. Okay, so what else do you have for us, Mark?
I've got another interesting thread, and this one is in Skunk Works as well. Which, you know, Skunk Works, a new forum we started in an attempt to get back to basics. I thought that'd be worth mentioning. Again, www.abovetopsecret.com. And
you're such a sales whore, you know.
Oh, God, I am. But, you know, God bless us. We've got to keep it alive. It's for the good of the people, man.
That's right.
It's for the common man like you and me.
For the six or seven people that listen to this podcast.
Now, is it six or seven, dude? Come on. I called my mom last week and said, Mom, we got seven people listening. She was all excited. Now, it's not true. Anyway, this thread in Skunk Works is Pink Floyd, NWO, MK Ultra, CIA, or occultists.
Pink Floyd, alphabet soup.
This one, you know, we're laughing, but I'll be totally honest. The reason it caught my eye is I was a Pink Floyd nut through all of my teens. I mean, really.
And wait a minute. If you were a real nut, you only listened to Pink Floyd with the headphones on.
Absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
Without question, the headphones were on. And by the way, which one is pink? But anyway, this thread brings up an interesting perspective, if nothing else. There may not be any conspiracy here, but there certainly is an interesting perspective, and who am I to say there's no conspiracy here, you know? But I guess what it really boils down to is the big part of this is the song The Machine, you know, Welcome to the Machine. And this poster, Informatu, who has been with us since September, asks the question, you know, were they part of an elaborate scheme during the psychedelic 60s to forge new ground in mind control? Were their songs' lyrics seem to lay out an NWO type of conspiracy? The lyrics in Welcome to the Machine are what this member is questioning. And, you know, if you took it from that perspective, I could see how you could, you know, at least ask the question. And another member, Mayette, you know, jumps into this and she really believes that there's something to this.
Let me guess. They're fans of Rage Against the Machine, right?
Oh, God, I don't know. No idea. But, you know, she says money. It's, you know, she talks about the lyrics, and she connects it all to mind control, NWO, and all that. But my take on the song Welcome to the Machine has always been about, you know, when you sign a contract as a rock and roll band, you're in the machine. I mean, you know, we'll tell you what to dream. Well, that means they will tell you what to dream. You know, you're going to be dressed up in your little outfit. You're going to be on stage in Chicago at, you know, 7:30 Tuesday night. And here's a new Cadillac and a bag full of drugs and
that's
a big
right.
check. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize is essentially the record label owns these guys during the period of the contract.
You bet. You bet. 24/7. I mean, you know, I see NFL players bitching about having to go to practice and whatnot. Well, these guys, back in those days, before great lawyer agents and everything that takes care of them now, I mean, they were literally owned by the record label. And I really think that's all, you know, there was to this whole thing. And we want to discuss conspiracies in this show and everything else, and I just thought that was a unique perspective on the lyrics of a song that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is just a misreading of Pink Floyd's version of this is the record business.
And maybe that's a function of maybe saturating yourself too deeply in all this conspiracy theory talk and discussion. If you immerse yourself so deeply that you're looking for New World Order references in Pink Floyd lyrics,
one
step away from the computer.
Yeah. It might be time to go hit nine holes.
Right. Or nine bottles or something.
Nine bottles, yeah. Yeah, I mean, go down to the pub and breathe the air. I mean, yeah, I just thought it was an interesting, it was a very different look at a very common thing, I guess.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time that we've heard?
Heard. Buffalo.
Yeah. No, it's the beer, damn it. It's the bell
hair. It's the beard.
This is strong beer. Anyway, this isn't the first time we've heard that either Pink Floyd had something semi-conspiratorial in their lyrics. I mean, they were, after all, rubbing elbows with some relatively rich people back in the day. And
sure
there's the all-time, I don't know if it's a conspiracy or if it's just something something interesting, where if you started Dark Side of the Moon at the same time The Wizard of Oz starts, you have a rather interesting revelation about a new meaning in The Wizard of Oz.
Wow. Yeah. I've never heard that one.
Oh, come on.
I never heard it. I mean, I know the play Abbey Road by the Beatles backwards, and you get all kinds of bizarre stuff, but I've never heard about playing Dark Side of the Moon backwards at the same time. Oh, playing it forward?
Playing it forward.
While you're watching Wizard of Oz.
That's right. Try it sometime.
I've got to try that.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating. Is it really good?
You're really not.
I've never heard it.
You're really not a Pink Floyd fan if you haven't heard that.
Yeah, I am. But see, I like Pink Floyd for the music, not the bizarre accusations.
Oh, okay. Well, so
yeah,
there you go.
It. What have you got?
What do I have was the question.
What do you have?
Well, I've picked a thread that's not really a conspiracy theory thread. It's one that
not allowed.
But it could be. The thread itself isn't about conspiracy theory. But it's possibly a conspiracy theory. And I think you actually became involved in this thread. And it's over at politics.abovetopsecret.com.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I've never been on that forum.
Oh, no. You've been there. I know. And it's I created a new banner to try to incite some new excitement.
I saw that. I like it.
It's a mud fight.
It's beautiful.
But this thread was actually kind of fun. I know some people are taking it serious. That's why I have some kind of funky fun music in the background there. Because it's just a mess over there.
Is it time for Benny Hill?
Yeah. I don't have him queued up. That would be...
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Man.
Wouldn't that be great? We'll save Benny for some other time. After I heard Benny Hill music, I could not stop laughing. So we'll save it for another time. Anyway.
Okay.
Centurion 1211. Began a thread over in politics.abovetopsecret.com in the U.S. Politics Forum, and it's Kerry calls U.S. troops terrorists in the title of his thread. Oh, no. And Disclaimer first, I am not a liberal. I am not a conservative. I think on my own.
That makes two of us.
So, the thread begins this way. In an interview on Face the Nation, Kerry said the following. And there is no reason Bob Schaefer, Schaefer, yeah, that young American soldiers need to be going into the homes of Iraqis in the dead of night, terrorizing kids and children. And, you know, women breaking some of the customs of the historical customs, religious, I guess, Kerry kind of stammered here. So it was a literal translation. I'm serious. That's what's in the thread.
Wow.
And he says, what does Kerry mean by this? I see two major mistakes in his comments. First, suggesting that U.S. troops are terrorizing innocent Iraqis, and then suggesting the Iraqis should do that themselves? Well, maybe they should. Here's the issue. The thread evolves into literally the thought, a divisive conversation where the conservatives are taking the side that Kerry has called the U.S. troops terrorists.
Right.
Because he used the word terrorize, and an adjective, I believe. And
yeah. And it'd be a verb.
Yeah, verb, sorry. Yes. Terrorist is an adjective.
There you go.
And the, of course, the liberals are arguing back, no, he didn't say that. He said terrorize, and it's different. And it's crazy. Here we have, right in our very own backyard, our very own members are sitting there playing the game for the man.
And I mean 4 or 5 pages worth.
More of it. And it's just so, it's sickening to see this people divided this way, where suddenly the conservatives take the conservative side. The conservative viewpoint is to just rip to shreds and find little tiny pieces of comments in something a liberal has said and twist it this way.
Sure.
And the liberals are just so constantly backpedaling on the defensive. They don't know what the hell to do. It's just, come on, get a backbone, stand up and fight back.
God, you would think. Well, they've just been crushed so soundly in the last, well, two presidential elections.
Well, from a strategy perspective, not necessarily from a policy perspective.
Right, exactly. Pure image.
Right.
I mean, that's all it is. And I do remember contributing to this thread, and I'm looking at it right now, and the title of my post was Distraction and Deflection 101, and I stand by it, because that's really
absolutely
all it is.
Yeah, that's been sort of the theme of what I'm getting into. And what's happening here is somebody on one of the sides will say something about something important, and the other side will immediately twist that to something that doesn't matter,
right?
So that the debate focuses on something that doesn't matter.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what Kerry said. What matters is what he was talking about, the war in Iraq.
Right.
So, no, we can't talk about that. Screw it. Yeah. Red alert. Put the engines in reverse. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about what Kerry said.
Yes.
And... But both sides do it. It's total bullshit, and the whole country is wrapped up in this, and they don't see it. They don't see that nothing important ever gets discussed, ever gets resolved, because all we're doing is all they're doing is complaining about what the other side said, and right, not focusing on what the other side is talking about.
Well, the easiest way to retain power over a huge population of relatively intelligent people. You know, the population
what?
Of yeah,
what?
The population of America are not pretty
I was
much
taking a
are
drink
not
at the time.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. Are pretty much the population is no longer this mass of sheep that you can just say, you know, walk this direction and they all turn and walk that direction. So today, what you do is you deflect them with distractions, and you continue to do whatever the hell you want, but you just keep them on sides. You see, my side is right and your side is wrong. Well, they, you know, stir up the pot, get them emotional about it, and you can just go do whatever the hell you want when you're in office. And that's really what it boils down to. Like you said, nothing important, nothing critical is going to get discussed or resolved because they don't want it to. If that happens, well, Christ, you know, what does that leave them?
That leaves us with people thinking.
Leaves us, but where does it leave the leaders? Now they've got to deal with it. Now they can't. You're right, exactly. I mean, it's just it's a ridiculous joke.
By the way, I made this myself.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's kind of fun.
Got that funky groove going.
I called it the Skeptic Jive.
The Skeptic Jive.
A Mac is a wonderful thing.
Coming to you live on a Saturday night, baby.
So that covers our threads for this evening. Thanks for listening to our ramble on those particular things.
All seven of you.
All seven of you. So a new forum showed up, and blame goes where blame is due. why don't you tell us about the new forum that was your idea over the past couple days?
Well, I'll tell you real quickly how I came to the idea. I actually went back and read our most recent member satisfaction survey. Can you imagine that? Have you ever read those?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that programmed the survey, so I had to read them at some point.
Yes, you did. But what interested me the most, the last two questions, the members actually had to type. It wasn't a multiple choice. They had to type out, this is what I think, and write that out. And one of the last question, I believe it was, you know, how effective are we at communicating the fact that, you know, we have all these features and we welcome you as a new member, or something to that effect. So I went back and I read every single answer that was written to that survey. And what jumped out at me was there was probably 11 or 12, maybe 13 or 14 different people that typed in effectively the same thing. A forum specifically for new members would be a great thing to have here. So I went into, I went back to you and I said, Bill, here's a great idea. And you handled it yesterday.
I made the freshman forum.
Yes. Yeah, the freshman forum, originally called the freshman forum. Anyway, the freshman forum.
I was typing with a lisp.
Yes. You're such a good boy. Anyway, it's got a big red 101 icon. You can't miss it. And it's called ATS Freshman's Forum. And basically, what this is for is, you know, it occurs to me, how the heck did we ever get this far without one? I mean, is this not like an obvious thing? Now that we're looking at it, isn't it like...
Actually, no, it's not. If you look at a lot of other discussion boards out there that are close to our size or even bigger, there's not that many that are bigger, but there's a few.
Yeah.
They don't have something like that.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No, and it's... Of course, we have a lot more features than a lot of... Actually, we have more features than any of these.
Yeah.
We've got podcasting, we've got blogs, we've got a member upload, we've got news, we've got voting, we've got applause.
No doubt.
That's crazy!
Yeah, we got it all.
I've forgotten half the stuff I've programmed into the site.
Until you dream about it at night.
Right.
The Freshman Forum is exactly that. I mean, it's a place for a new member... to come in, and I put up a nice, you know, welcoming post from the three of us, the three amigos, Skeptic Overlord, Simon Gray, and myself, Springer, and, you know, kind of just letting the new member get an idea, you know, of what we are, why we are, and what they can expect. And I think one of the most important things I said in that introductory post, and I want to reiterate it here, if you took the time to register in this forum, and you have enough interest in the world around you to even find this forum, you are absolutely qualified to participate in this forum. You know, and I think that's a hell of a statement. And I agree with it, and I support it 100%. Anybody that you know, found us, read us, and then took the time to register is qualified to participate. And any, you know, long-term member that comes into and gets in your face about something, just remember that as a new member. You know, you are as qualified as I am, or as Skeptic Overlord is, or anybody else. And I really want new members to know that.
Some of the new members are more qualified.
You got that right.
I've seen some amazing posts by new members over the past couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've done is when you create a new membership at AboveTopSecret.com, I've modified that introductory email so that you have a link to the new forum and a little information about it. So that'll help make the initiation a little less painful once it's time to start the 11,111-word oath of deadly fealty to remain a member of Above Top Secret.
Exactly. Any new members out there who haven't done this yet, please report to Thomas Crown.
Right, he's up to about in the 8,000 right now. So
is he?
Yes,
still
he's,
back
he's,
there.
He's
isn't
doing
he?
Well.
Yeah, I think he's down there. Actually, I think he's really down there chasing William Onesack's reptilians around. But we'll go into that. That's another podcast altogether.
Yeah, that's another podcast. Absolutely,
we love him.
Yeah,
we love the Thomas Crown.
We do.
We do.
We have to. All right, so I guess do we have anything else? Does that wrap it up?
No, I think that does us. We're done. We're out.
Okay. So that was a hint.
Seven people rejoice.
Yeah, really. Okay, I can turn it off now. Little look at the new format coming up. As we mentioned earlier, we will be getting Mr. Thomas Crown on the other end of Skype to be involved in this, and it's not going to be just for yucks. Even though, well, I don't think I've ever actually yucked it up with Thomas Crown, so we wouldn't be going there anyway. But he will be enlightening us on. He is somewhat of an expert on the NWO, and he will be enlightening us on the series that he wrote for the ATS Weekly newsletter, and expanding on that.
Yeah, that series was outstanding, and
yeah.
I'm waiting on another addition to it. So I'm looking forward to having him on the program.
And once we have Thomas scheduled up, we will ask members for some questions, maybe, and see if we can get some interactive involvement from our members.
Well, I bet we'll get at least six or seven anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe one or two because
percentages. I got it. Yeah,
right. Right. Well, remember, so thanks for listening. This has been, I've lost track of how many this is. If we count the mistakes, this might be like 9 or 10. But thanks for listening to this one. For information on these conspiracies and much more, go to AboveTopSecret.com and get involved, keep posting, and listen to the podcasts. You'll learn something.
Have a great night. Springer out.